Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan.
All right, and we're at another Beer Co. in
New Westminster.
New Westminster. It's like, wait a minute, which city am I in?
Are we technically in Sapperton, though?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we're you in the Braid Industrial
Brunette.
Brunette
Industrial.
Okay, there we go. Well, can you guys introduce yourself then?
Yeah, my name's Cleet Hansen. I'm one of the co-owners and I guess the brewmaster of another beer company.
I like that.
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't know if I consider myself the master of anything. So head
brewer?
Head, yeah, yeah.
Head janitor.
Yeah. And I'm Alex Jobson. I'm also a co-owner of another beer co.
Awesome.
And we are on location.
Yes, we are. Very socially distanced again.
Lots of cords everywhere.
Yes, exactly. Well, why don't we start out? When did you guys open up?
Yeah, so we opened up in June, pretty much June 1st of last year. Yeah, so it's been a year, I guess,
a year and a bit,
that we've been open. The journey took much longer than that.
At least a year or two, I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah. So it was about that, actually, like 2 year mark. Yeah. So it's about a 3 year journey for us, mm-hmm. from kind of like saying we're doing this and applying for a corporation status and then opening the door. So
September 1st will be 4 years in this space. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that's wow. Crazy. So
this happened organically. It wasn't like we were out pounding the pavement, looking for a space.
Yes.
It just kind of progressively happened. One thing led to another.
So we had initially lined up a little like 10 by 3 or 4 foot space in a neighboring unit down the hall. And we were just going to brew there. And this building you can't get into. Like, I mean, that's the one challenge with New West in general is M2 zoning, their industrial zoning is so limited. And so we knew that we were very set on opening up in New West and not looking anywhere else. So to our own detriment or benefit or whatever you will call it. But we knew we just wanted to open in New West and that's where our heart was set. And so we saw this building, we saw the SkyTrain access. We knew it was in the middle of nowhere. I'm doing air quotes right now, but it's like right off of Highway 1. It's by a golf course. So it's just a matter of, you know, we knew it's kind of going to be that slow burn. The slow burn in terms of getting people.
There's a golf course, isn't there?
There's a par 3.
Yeah.
Par 3.
Just around the corner here.
Yeah.
I've driven by it many times. I don't know how you get there.
It's not like,
there's also a garbage dump.
No, but I'm just saying.
Unless we say Vancouver golf course, because it's actually a nice golf course that's up the hill.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. No, but more so, I guess what I'm saying is there's central area. Yeah. And so, but we also knew it was going to be a slow burn. So, but basically we had that unit and then within like a month of like ordering equipment, like tiny little pilot equipment to fit into a 10 by 4 foot space. Somebody actually, sadly passed away in the building, but he had 2 units and it shook up the whole thing. Okay. And so next thing you know, people are moving out, people are shifting, and we land this unit here.
Interesting. Okay.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so
and there we go. The whole time we just thought, like, is there a way we can make a brewery next? Like, because whenever you look into this stuff, everybody's saying you need $1 million.
Yeah.
Right?
Or more.
Minimum. Well. And we were like, no, we're going to do something else. And with your family, with Cleet's family owning a brewery down in Spokane, that was a small setup. We kind of kept thinking, like, maybe one day we'll inherit some brewing equipment.
Yeah, maybe we'll get that nice 3-barrel piece of equipment. Yeah, and so it was definitely a challenge in terms of that, but you know, made it work, and here we are. So
very cool.
Yeah.
So, what size is your brew house now?
Yeah. So. Like I said, intention was actually we toss around the 1-barrel option, but we're sitting at very happily much more sizable at 10 barrels, so 12x.
10 barrels.
Yeah.
Which is from Moody.
Yeah, no, which is yeah, and it's actually Moody Ales old equipment, like Alex
said.
Yeah,
their old mash tun?
Yeah, so we got
that half cylinder.
That's
thing?
Right. Yeah, so it's a dairy tank that's been converted. It's cut in half.
They used that for a couple of years.
Yeah, and it actually worked out really well in our space in hindsight, because the grain auger and the mash tun are both on wheels. So they roll in to the front of our space. Mm-hmm. We mash in, we send it over, and then we can roll it out into
store
a neighboring
unit.
Site,
so yeah. It's not as dirty and dirty.
Yeah.
Is that in that 10x4 space?
That's a, no, I'm trying to, literally the mash tun is more than 10x4. So.
Yeah,
yeah, cool. so that, exactly. Yeah, so
that's
that
why, that's why every collab we do has to involve Moody.
Yeah, we make sure of that.
We had it in the contract.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And hopefully do it there because then it's bigger volume.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right on. All right, I'm thirsty. I'm going to drink this beer in front of me.
Yeah.
What? Tell me about this beer, please.
Yeah, so that is, this is called Dazed and Cocoa Fused.
I smell chocolate for sure. Is there coffee in this as well?
Yeah, so it is a dark pilsner.
Smells fantastic.
Like Kleku, and it's a dark pilsner, and basically then we add it in. It's the vanity of beers for us. We basically set out to brew a dark lager. Mm. We decided on the pilsner varietal, and we brewed a dark pilsner, and then we thought, let's not just stop there. Let's add in coffee from one of our favorite coffee roasters in New West. I mean, coffee companies in New mm-hmm. West, though they get their roast from Timber Train. But it's Old Crow Coffee. We kind of have the same ideas. They provided the artwork for the can and stuff like that. And anyways, yeah, so we use coffee from them. And then we also decided to add in toasted coconut as well.
Okay. I can taste
so,
that.
Yeah, you do get a little bit of the coconut.
Yeah,
the
so
flavor.
It's
pretty subtle though.
You get all chocolate and coffee in the aroma.
Yep.
There is a bit of coconut definitely when you taste it. But the thing that surprised me was there's not a lot of residual sweetness in this. So usually with a coffee beer of some sort, you got that sweetness there to balance it out and stuff. This is nice and dry. It's a little thinner. And then the coffee kind of sticks through, you get that sort of bitter part of the coffee. It's really nice.
Thank you. Yeah,
quite different.
That. Yeah, mm-hmm. And maybe I mean attribute that to
I'll
like
get a lot of coconut flavor
espresso
too.
Beans. Yeah,
it's
in that.
Good.
So and then what you're drinking it out of as well is going to be Alex poured that from what we kind of discussed before we were on air here. A Czech side pull handle mm-hmm. that we brought in from the Czech Republic. And basically it's designed just to pour lagers and really bring out a bit more of a creaminess aspect to them, a bit softer mouthfeel to them. It almost pours like a kind of a nitro style tap
really
with a
creamy.
Filter and stuff like that.
It looks like you had more control over how much head the glass would have and things like that too.
Yeah, exactly. So we're pretty happy to bring that in. I mean, we definitely are trying to gear our brewery towards really focusing on the lagers mm-hmm. and IPAs, and then of course having the opportunity to do some fun stuff with some sours and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're
really
kind of setting ourselves
down.
Up. Yeah, we've really narrowed it down. To
and then our one award was a stout.
Yeah.
So we'll do stout.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do a stout. And a saison is brewing this week.
Saison,
so.
So we'll,
Just lagers and IPAs except for...
People keep asking us to bring back our triple and our doubles that we've done.
People always like those.
Yeah.
Good triple double.
Yeah.
This is a fantastic breakfast beer.
Yeah.
It goes down quite easily. It's not difficult at all.
Yeah, we kind of call it our summer stout right now. People are asking for a dark
beer.
That's
a good description.
We were like, let's think about the seasonality a bit.
For a dark beer, yeah, this is very thirst quenching. It'd be
obviously
really
for
easy
our setup.
On a hot day.
Yeah, obviously for our setup to keeping the beers on that everybody wants.
I'm really enjoying the creaminess of this, though. It's
lovely.
It is nice.
Yeah, thanks.
It's got a great mouthfeel.
Yeah, and honestly, that tap is like insane. It totally changes the dynamics of that beer. You wouldn't carry some aspect.
Feels like it's a little higher on the carbonation scale, too.
Yeah, it is a bit. We strategically try to make it just really bright for a beer that is dark. We didn't want it to be totally soft and, I guess, European-like and more mm-hmm. kind of brightly carbonated like a lager. So
awesome.
Yeah.
I love the fact that it's not yellow fizzy.
Yeah.
It's dark fizzy.
Dark fizzy. Dark fizzy has flavor.
It definitely has some flavor, for sure.
Good pickup on the carbonation, though. That was, yeah, there you go.
He knows the stuff.
Yeah.
So you were saying that you guys are just coming up on your 1 year with everything that's been crazy. Obviously, you can't do anything right away. Are you planning anything in the near future to celebrate, or are you just going to kind of wait till two comes around?
Yeah, meeting tomorrow. So it's been interesting to say opening up in this first year. Fortunately, we had a great summer last year. We threw a couple of awesome parties.
I was at one of them.
Yeah, the Another Beer Fest was great, and yes, we had big plans that for that again. And then we also held our Oktoberfest, which went off pretty well. And so we're planning on actually expanding that a little bit, doing something in the spring, right around when this whole COVID thing took off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then building into Another Beer Fest and Oktoberfest. So we'll see what we're going to do. We're looking at the idea of doing a handful of mini festivals, but obviously navigating this space. And when I say mini festivals, it's like 50 people.
Yeah.
Right. And there's some breweries, many breweries that have the ability to have 50 people on the premises. So it's not like it would be that when I say festival, obviously it's so subdued, but the idea being that we would bring in maybe like 3 weekends in a row, bring in 1 to 2 breweries, mm-hmm, and add in a food truck, add in a live band, tell them to space out their sets. And just kind of tell people like, hey, we appreciate if you want to come hang out all day, but like come in, try a handful of different brews and kind of get out. Yeah, like, let another group come in. Right?
Yeah. Check it out,
right? Yeah. So we're looking at doing that to kind of keep that spirit alive. But no, I mean, this is the crazy thing is anybody who's open this year,
it's been a challenge.
It's been a challenge, and you won't actually understand the operation side, the yearly operation side of your business really until, 2023, because mm-hmm, like last year we had 3/4 of a year and then everything flipped. This year is a wash. And so it won't be until like maybe when this thing ends, when we have a quarantine starting at that point for a full calendar year, until we actually know what we're all about, how we're going to go about this thing. So of course you're navigating it the best you can, but, to BC's credit, BC has done such a phenomenal job with this. I think we are at this point seeing some forms of like how it's working. Like when there was when we were the only game in town in terms of like buying beer, right? There was a moment where restaurants couldn't sell beer. Right. Restaurants weren't even daring to be open.
Right. Yeah.
It was liquor stores and breweries that were providing beer, and like everybody's beer sales like spiked at that moment, right? And especially in cans. If you were equipped with cans at that moment.
Well, that's the thing. Like, yeah. Some of the smaller places like yourselves have had to do a little pivoting and
absolutely, get
the cans going and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, so way more than we thought we would.
Yeah.
At this stage, everything is, you're trying to learn just as much as you can in terms of your operation and how it works in this environment. Mm-hmm. So being small, it helped us in the sense that we could, I feel, pivot a bit quicker.
Yeah.
But like everybody that you're going to speak to in podcasts moving forward, and probably a few podcasts before, it's just chaos. But we're happy that we're essential services.
Yeah.
And
thank God they didn't shut the breweries down.
And we're so grateful for our community that is just been grateful that we're here. We've seen a lot of great public support in that regard. And they're happy, and they want to make sure that we're here in the long run, as a brewery in their space. I mean, in their neighborhood. Right?
Yeah, that's really cool. I like the fact that you guys were too with, when the deliveries started coming out, like you're trying to get your product out, that you guys weren't just like, oh, it's New West only. Being from Pitt Meadows, I was like, sweet, now I can get an ABC beer super easily. I think I'd got deliveries twice in like a month and a half just because like, sweet, now I can support everybody, not just like my local brewery or the ones like close enough to travel to. So I thought that was really good that you guys were doing that, and so kudos.
Yeah, yeah. I actually remember backing up into your place.
No, I remember that, doing it over the speed bumps backwards.
I was like, overshot it. Yeah, it's,
all the brewery owners making all the deliveries too, because nobody had done it yet. I like that about this business. Like a lot of the owners don't just go and say, go do it.
Oh, yeah.
Like Moody, everybody, you saw photos of the actual
Parkside, I think like, Sam I guess was I gotta delivered.
Go do this. Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw any photos of Foss dropping anything off.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure he did, actually.
Oh, he might have, yeah.
Just didn't promote it.
Yeah. Nobody caught him on camera. Yeah.
It's just more fun to give Jordan a hard time.
Yeah. As long as it's not me.
Yeah. There is... But that whole space of delivering, though, is a whole nother element of this. It's such like a timepiece that we're living in, and I hope it ends very quickly. but for instance, like we got to like do the reversal of what individuals do to us. You know, they come into our space and they have community in our space, and we got to go out to their homes,
right?
And actually, you know, kind of see where some of our regulars live, see people face to face, you know, sometimes get stories in like our notes, like, are you in quarantine? Are you not? And not like being quarantined, like no way that's a good thing, but just kind of being able to serve people in different levels and, be there for people in a different way than we typically would imagine ourselves was, I don't know. It's just kind of interesting, like seeing kind of the silver lining in the whole thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Nice. Do you guys plan on carrying it on after, or probably not?
No, I think the whole industry is going to be some form of delivery, and I don't know if that'll get privatized. You know, we're already seeing some things like this liquor app service. And stuff like that.
Yeah, the liquor app's pretty.
That's happening. So I don't know if that is going to be the route for everybody. Mm. The fortunate thing being in New West is I know in particular. In New West, it will always be here for us. Just because the nice thing about New West is it is such a tight geographical area. And being on the eastern end of the city, we can work east to west and we can do, you know, a dozen deliveries in an hour. So it's easy to tack on to somebody's shift if need be and keep that as kind of a regular component.
Yep.
I would like to see us, you know, I mean, honestly, I would like to be able to keep on delivering out to Pitt Meadows and out to these farther reaching areas on a regular basis. I know it's an ecosystem, and I love all the people that sell and promote our beer, but like we kind of eliminate a middleman in this effort and get to go right to the consumer. And like I said, have that closer relationship that we're building. So,
for sure.
So I would like it to see continue in some way, but I hope it, gets cut down at the knees dramatically because we have a quarantine. So I can't emphasize that enough. But yeah, I think it's here to stay, at least for us.
There's been some interesting things that have come about because of the COVID that I think are going to be difficult to get rid of.
Yeah.
Like the patio situation.
Yeah.
How are you going to just turn around like at the end of the year or whatever and tell people, sorry, you can't ever have your patio again. We're done. That's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
So I know New West in particular has put forward motions and everything to advance long-term goals of urbanizing and walkability and just kind of making it more, making the foot traffic of the lived environment so much easier to navigate and more accessible. And anyways, yeah, so I know they've been trying to advance this stuff And there was a motion put forward, I have to look back and see if it was approved or not, that basically they said like their 2040 vision, doing it like now.
Wow.
Like we're doing this, all these goals right now because we have to kind of build this stuff temporarily.
Yeah.
And how are we going to take it away if this is a year?
Exactly.
We're kind of all adjusted. And
there's been some other things that have come out of this COVID thing that I see as a good thing, as the silver lining, so to speak. The one that comes to mind immediately is you can drink beer in some parks in certain municipalities now.
City of Vancouver awesome is just revoted. Vancouver's going to reconsider. It sounds like they have reconsidered. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Fantastic. Port Coquitlam's on board. North Van's on board. I think there's a couple others.
The Okanagan's got Penticton's on board.
Yeah. So if things are going in the right direction, and if this is what it took for that push, then I'll take it. It's a good trade-off.
Restaurants buying at...
Wholesale
value, and
that's good.
Hopefully that passes on to the customer too.
They're also talking about restaurants and bars being able to buy from private liquor stores as well.
Oh, nice.
Which was always a huge problem with Shabim and all that, right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's, I mean, yeah, it's been also very neat. Now, like, welcome to another Beer Co. highlighting us. We're talking about COVID.
Yeah.
We should. No,
hey, it has
all,
to happen, right?
It's all good. No, but it's also super interesting to see. I've been very appreciative of the speed of BC's governments too.
Yeah.
As much as we can think of some things acting slowly, I actually think they've been like kind of on the ball.
Yeah. I think they've done what they can to keep people in business.
And everybody to try to just see this thing move along, and mm-hmm. yeah, it'll be interesting to see the clawbacks. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's
what I'm worried about.
I hope they keep the patios. That's wicked. Now everybody has one. I'm loving it.
It's like almost silly when you look at your space and envision it not with a patio. You're like, why would you care?
Yeah, realistically, it's already done. Just leave it as is now.
Yeah, yeah. So our only hiccup with the city is we sent in photos of our space. And the firefighters showed up, and they saw a sign that says no parking in the Bay Door area. No, like, long-term parking in the Bay Door area. And they're like, oh, I thought that said it's a fire lane. And then they were like, because obviously you couldn't make a patio directly to fire lane. But that was it. That was the only thing they were worried about. And then they were just like, stamp, you're good.
Excellent.
See you later. Yeah, so that's been good. Yeah.
Cool.
So what are we moving on to next? So
West Coast.
So this beer is coming out next week.
Little
sneak peek for everybody. This is called The Hardest Part About Making a Beer is Naming It. West Coast Pale Ale.
Yeah,
love it.
Smells amazing.
And we kind of get that. Great? So we just like smashed it with Mosaic Hops. Great year to be in Mosaic Hops. Super expensive crop, so awesome. It isn't just Mosaic, no. So we use Mosaic Hops. We pulled hops from Indie Hop Farms, and Meridian is in there as well from Indie Hop Farms. Mm. And then we also have Centennial. So
nice.
Centennial,
yeah,
Meridian.
That's what I'm picking up is that citrus from the Centennial.
Yep. So it is a little like
a nice
pungent
balance.
And dank.
It was not too much Mosaic though. If too much Mosaic can go towards that, you know, catty thing, and I'm not getting that at all.
Yeah. So it was just really big on the back end, and it does add that little bit of kind of mango, but it fades mm-hmm. into these kind of mango berry, and then
tropical
really
stone fruit.
Yeah, yeah. It's a peach or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty dynamic. It's kind of all over. So
it's amazing.
Yeah.
No,
so we're
really easy to drink.
We're pretty excited about it, and we're super excited about the label too. Which, I mean, one of the things that we do at another Beer Co. is our brand.
I can taste the Mosaic.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it's dank. Yeah, it's definitely dank. Yep.
You get that nice citrus finish, though. That's
really
nice.
Yeah.
It's a good combo.
Yeah, thank you.
You guys aren't hearing me chewing, eh?
Nope.
It's a pizza party, too.
Stuff in your face.
Five distinct tracks anyways, so we just
gotta... where's Alex in all this? He's eating.
Yeah. So one of the things we try to highlight, what we go out of the way to do, is we work with a handful of different artists. It's almost this... And I'm just going to say it because this is the reference that people know. It's this collective arts approach to things in a way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but we don't, me and Alex pulled a lot of influence from the skate culture. Alex actually grew up skateboarding and was a part of the scene a little bit in Vancouver and trying to be around it. And I won't attest to his skills.
Once owned a skateboard.
He can speak better.
He's not flying out the end of the bowl doing a Christ air.
He can speak better to his glory days on that. But
skateboarding in cowboy boots don't work.
Yeah, yeah.
That is quite the look. I don't think Tony Hawk did that.
I just broke my elbow skateboarding with my kid.
Frank Gerwer.
So.
No one's going to know who it is. Frank Gerwer did it.
But we pulled a lot from that culture in terms of its creativity. And this idea that you can have a central brand, but have so many different artists attack the brand.
Sure.
And so we kind of pulled from that, and we just tried to slowly build. It's a slow burn philosophy at another Beer Co. And so a lot of different artists coming in.
And that summarizes like the amount of people who come in and say, it's not just another beer company. Like, it's not just another, like, they just keep saying that. I'm like, okay, I get it. That was the idea, was that it would be hard to figure us out for a while there, where we have all these different, we have 16 taps, you know, and we do different beers because we're beer nerds and we enjoy different beers. We're not just wanting to make IPAs every day or one style of beer every day. As much as we might always go to an IPA, we like a lager after a long day of work, or a pilsner, or or the odd sour here and there, and then to throw in all the different artists, so that you're always having to grab it on the shelf and be like, is this another beer co? And then you rotate it and be like, oh yeah, there's their logo, and that's how you would identify us. That was kind of the idea. It was kind of a joke, tongue in cheek.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it's a similar naming convention to the beer we're having right now, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. This beer for us was like, oh, this sums it up. Yeah. This is, we captured it. We
and
did.
And our cream ale is a cream ale. Yeah. Like we were like, what are we going to call this?
That's a good name. I like that.
Another cream ale.
The first beer we ever did was our collab with Moody. And we were like, this is the one time we're going to actually use another name.
Yeah. So mainly because it would be funny to do. There was like no triple IPAs in the market at the time, and we like, let's call it another Moody triple IPA. So people are like, wait, you guys made another one?
The other thing I'm noticing about this IPA that just kind of came to me is the color's quite light, and there's not that crazy crystal malt body in there. You're not getting that malty, caramely, toffee thing that you get in a lot of IPAs. This is a lot closer to the way I've been making my IPA the last few years at home. Just basically base malt with a little bit of, you know, C10, C20s maybe.
The
most.
Yeah, this guy's good.
So this is great.
This guy's good.
He knows his shit.
So basically hit it hard with just two row, just Canadian two row, and then a little bit of Vienna. So that's the only like C10, if you will. Yeah, so just a bit of Vienna.
That's the way to do it.
Some Carapils, just add some body, and off we go.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I've made a total of 6 gallons of beer so far. So.
I got that to beat by a couple thousand.
Yeah, exactly. And none of it's carbonated yet.
Mine's overcarbonated and blows up in my house. So.
I'd rather have it undercarbonated than over.
Yeah. That's a story for another day.
People love banging on the door here.
You get lots of visitors.
Yeah, it's a pretty tight building.
We're only open till 6 right now, so there's a lot of people who show up later. Why are you closed at 6? Because we're trying to get used to COVID.
I mean, this back to this COVID thing. I mean, we basically were kind of waiting for this patio approval so we know we could actually properly expand our space before we added staff
next week.
So next week we'll be back, but now we're running into that CERB issue where we basically have staff that don't want to go over these hours. And so totally fair. I get that. Like, I'm like, no, don't burn that. I'd hate to have you
otherwise,
work a
it's a
bit.
Loan and you got to repay it.
Exactly. Yeah. So people are coming back in July. We'll be back up to basically normal. Yeah.
That's awesome. Week.
But yeah, it's been, I mean.
And it'll all be about the second wave.
Yeah. No, don't say that.
I'm just hoping we keep toeing the line in BC and we don't have that second wave.
Yeah.
Dr. Bonnie, tell us
support.
What to do.
Yeah.
Dr. Bonnie, keep rocking it.
I think as soon as it starts creeping up, it'll be like a shutdown. Like,
oh, yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah. Stage one again.
Not like what's going on.
Well, did you see the recent numbers? So they released the numbers for, the last week or whatever. BC's down overall, but there are two areas where it's up, with Vancouver and Delta Surrey.
In Vancouver, probably because of the couple protests we've had.
Yeah.
But it's still not up that much. So.
And Delta Surrey, I think they were just behind the curve to begin with. They're just catching up.
Didn't they announce 13 today?
13 today, yeah.
Which is still like
it's still quite low.
Oh, it's just over the last week. The shift has been towards Vancouver.
Yeah,
right.
It's still really low.
Yeah, they're monitoring.
All transit ends
overall.
There too.
Yeah.
It's hard when you got everybody bundling up to go to work. I know, I work for commercial building maintenance, and you have all the people still coming in to clean the buildings. The people might not be there,
right?
But you have all these lower end employees that have to jump in on sky trains and stuff because they can't afford to drive it and pay for parking and all this stuff downtown. So I've seen some sky trains that are just like overly shit packed, and it's like that's not cool.
I drove into Vancouver yesterday, and the amount of traffic was insane. It was like everybody's back to work, everything's back to normal.
My buildings are quite empty still. Saying that though, I do have some big corporations that just are keeping their staff home until everything's back to normal. I guess a lot of them can work at home.
Yeah.
So we'll see how the world changes after this, I guess.
Damn, this is a good beer. So it's so this good. Is released in a week?
This is released in a week.
Okay,
yeah.
So by the time you're hearing this, it's available. You
probably,
have it in cans, I'm guessing, because you poured it out of a can, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
12 cans.
Tallies.
Yeah. A lot of cans. We'll have like I said, like the artwork that we partnered up with was Michael Sabian. He's down in Texas area.
Okay.
So it was definitely
very cool.
A long reach. It's
yeah, no
fun.
Doubt.
That is cool, though.
And one more time, what was the name?
The hardest part of making a beer is naming it.
Yeah. Yes. I would agree with that, too, yeah. Actually.
At a certain point, yeah. When you do 40 different varieties in a year.
Sometimes it just comes to you. And yeah, you're like, this is it. Like, I'm going to save this name, and it's going to be in the bank.
Yeah.
And then when there's one that you're just like, hey, let's do a West Coast Pale Ale. Everybody does. And
yeah.
It was what so should we call it?
So easy when you're a homebrewer, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, right. Like, it's my first beer ever. Right? I know I got a name for it, but when it's your 3,000th beer ever or whatever, yeah, you're not too concerned about the name anymore.
I might name my second batch to barley wine. We'll see.
Yeah,
that's the only benefit of taking 3 years to open.
3 years, you got lots of time.
You've got a lot of time. You're like, that'll be a good name, and if you remember, you write it down.
And then we lost the notebook.
No, we went through it already.
All right. Sweet.
That is absolutely delicious. Well done.
There's more of it, or should we grab something else?
Oh, let's grab something else.
Let's keep mixing it up and see whatever else you got there.
I think the next one that'd be good to go to is the Intolerant, actually.
The Intolerant.
Ooh, I want to try that big time. And from strawberry to blueberry?
I will skip.
This has got to be one of the better West Coast style IPAs I've had in the last month or two, for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that.
Cool.
Were you guys involved with any of that altogether?
Yeah, so we did the altogether batch. And that's what kind of... So when we did the altogether, it was a cool batch that other half set up. And they hedged their bets globally, which was very nice for them. And not light in the pocketbook for everybody else. Mm-hmm. But they basically were just like, hey, here's the deal. You're going to make this awesome beer. And you have to choose between either like a West Coast or a hazy.
Mm-hmm.
And being on the West Coast, we thought, let's do the West Coast
good
version,
choice.
Right? Yeah. So, it was good. So we put the hop profile on it. I just laughed when I saw it. It was Citra, Simcoe, and Mosaic.
All
and just
the expensive, like, hard to get stuff.
And just like, and a lot. Like, they're like literally, you can, like, about almost like 4.0. I think it's about 4.7 pounds per barrel, which is like pretty decent, right? So,
yeah.
And so, it was a great little project, and we were happy to do it and happy to give
cool
back,
idea.
But also just shed light on these workers who, typically we don't think about. We think about all these other like big industry jobs, about who's losing their jobs. We don't think about just like your standard, like your serving staff and waiters and waitresses and bartenders. Like, those people are out. Even when those restaurants were open, you thought, oh, the restaurant's open, that's good. Glad to see this place open. And that
There's
is
no
good
staff,
that they were
though.
Making money. All that waiting staff, it was definitely out still. So, so it was good for them to kind of shed light on some of these industries, especially where it's like, you know, those people are our brand ambassadors when you own a brewery.
Yep.
Like, when I give a keg out, I'm not there serving you a beer, be like, hey, you should try out this new West Coast. I have a waitress or a waiter or bartender pushing my product for better or worse. And so we really appreciate what they do in that sector. And so yeah, it was cool. It was a great initiative. And it was the right brewery to do it. I just feel like being other half in New York at that time when they released it in New York, we were hearing the stories. It was bad.
It was really
and
bad.
It's still,
New York,
you know, they got. I'm sure they have a road out still, but it was bad. And so I think it just that worked well. I think if it was like a bigger brewery, say like a Sierra Nevada or something like that, it wouldn't have gotten the buy-in. It wouldn't have felt as authentic.
Right.
Might have been a cheaper beer.
Maybe not.
Although
Sierra Nevada bottle conditions.
That's true. It's true. Yes. But, although Sierra Nevada did do that beer. What was it again? The Wildfire beer. It had a big buy-in.
I remember that one.
What was that one called again?
Couldn't tell you.
I think it might have. Was it just Wildfire?
Something, when the huge California wildfires were going on, they had this beer that everyone could make, and then the money was donated back.
Yeah. And not to say that those like bigger breweries aren't yeah, operating well in this space. But I just don't think you would have the buy-in. I think it just felt right.
That's like the grassroots thing.
You guys were one of the first people that did All Together in BC, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, no, we were the first people to sign up for it. Like I said, we just felt kind of convicted and saw it and just said, let's do this. I actually saw it from Great Notion. And I saw, I was looking at Great Notion's feed, and I saw that they did it. And I was like, oh, man, Great Notion worked with Other Half. And then I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, this is really good, what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, it's like global collaboration. I was like, I'm going to look this up. Go. And I was like, I own a brewery and can be involved.
So, all those ideas of being a home brewer and not being a home brewer. I mean, you just got to open a brewery.
Yeah.
But it was interesting talking to Jake Clark, like a girl named Jake on Instagram. And she was saying that Other Half had reached out to her to see if she could get anybody involved because of her connections. And they were concerned that there was going to be no breweries that were going to do it.
Oh, really?
Or it wouldn't get very, very far. But, I mean, 800 breweries later, I mean,
there was like 7 or 8 in BC.
Yeah, I know Twin Sales, I think Superflux,
Russell, Neighborhood Brewing.
Coast Mountain, I think.
Coast Mountain, I just had that one.
Did Backcountry?
No, Backcountry didn't do that.
I'm trying to remember.
I was just up there.
And it was also cool to see some of like the other spinoffs. There was definitely a handful of breweries that did their own little pilot kind of donation projects, which was good to see. Anyways, this is a really fascinating time where we're all being challenged and forcing ourselves to think about where we're at and our kind of place and how we got here and to kind of spread some love around and promote some other people. So. And just kind of, it's been a good moment of a lot of indoor contemplation, social distant contemplation,
which I think is very needed. We're going to see some big changes coming out of this, not just from the way, you know, we live our lives, but also in the way of society and the way the system works and things like that. I'm hoping that we see some positive changes out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. So what you guys got next is our blueberry intolerant. I am lactose intolerant, and so I reluctantly brew this beer. But
so it has lactose in it.
So I am not joining you for this sample. Okay.
It definitely looks like blueberries are in here.
Yeah,
it's got a beautiful color. Purple color.
Yeah,
so it's interesting because a lot of times blueberries make your beer gray.
Yeah, so we kept just like before. We kept it very light in terms of our malt bill. Really pushed for that kind of lighter straw color.
Yeah,
And then really focused in the blueberries. Do this unique thing in this beer. Use Mosaic again, which can pull some blueberry flavors just through it really late. And so it's Mosaic, Sabro, and blueberry. The beer, though, with the blueberry, I find becomes this very approachable, drinkable IPA in the sense that you have lactose. The blueberries, when you think about blueberry as a flavor, it's got a lovely color, but really it's a little bit of tart and almost some like fruity fleshiness.
It doesn't have a ton of flavor of blueberry.
In our mind, we think it's this massive thing, but if you have a blueberry milkshake, it's kind of like a vanilla milkshake that's got this beautiful color.
Yeah.
And so this beer, I think, captures in many ways the essence of that. And the cool thing is that blueberry tartness, I think, cuts through the lactose in the beer and makes it just this really nice, just kind of
It sounds super easy, sweet, like easy when drink you get and lactose.
Thing. Yeah,
it's nice. Can we call this a blueberry milkshake IPA?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
So like this, our first intolerant milkshake IPA was done when Klee went to Germany. Like,
oh, wow.
What was it? Like 3 months after we opened, and then our assistant brewer was like, I want to make a milkshake, seeing that he's not here. That's why we called it intolerant at the end of it.
So
that's awesome.
The first one, you guys didn't even add strawberry to
There's
it.
There's no
it?
Strawberry to
yeah,
it. And
that,
that Belma hop is insane. I mean, we'll so do that good. One again. It's just an insane hop that puts
but
so
then, but
much
then this
strawberry.
One we actually put,
but this blueberry. One, we were like, let's put in blueberry because we want that. Because the mosaic's not going to get it far enough. And so
it's nice and bitter up front with the hops. But not too much. And I can actually pick up some of that blueberry character.
It interacts well with the hops, too, I find.
Yeah, it's like I said, it became like this super balanced kind of subject that it just is, I don't know, it's just one of those beers that's odd. And when we first released it, it had definitely some definite hop burn still in it.
Yeah.
And this beer over time, the fascinating thing about this beer is it'll fit into a much sweeter kind of profile.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, with the lactose, it's not sweet as I would expect be with the lactose.
Yeah, so we definitely aim for, when we brew our beers, we're looking for that balanced character. And if it's called an IPA, like if I just want to make a milky fruited beer, like I'll just do that, but it is an IPA, so there should be some bitter character. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not trying to like wallop people in the face with this thing to prove a point, but it should resemble somewhat of an IPA, so we're not trying to overwhelm the senses on
you
that.
You should be able to drink another beer of a different kind after this without it being affected.
Yeah.
Well, the first beer I ever had from you guys was your original Intolerant, and this is a good follow up with it. I find it's got a nice creamy mouthfeel with the lactose and like the hops and the blueberry just blend together. And I got buddies that are going to love this shit.
Yeah. Cool.
Now, have you guys ever said like a negative thing to people on here? Cool. About
your beer? Oh, listen to the last episode.
Okay, cool. We're done. Don't say
anything. And then in a high note.
We're talking about the episode on Ace.
The lager just didn't do it. Like
their Belgian triple was off the chain. Like it was so damn good.
Yeah,
the rest of it.
He's the only one that got that though. No, we went through it. I mean, we do say what we want to say, and
we try to be honest.
Yeah, as much as possible.
I think that's important.
Without making people cry.
Exactly.
saying that you've all said very nice things about.
Hey, we're not done yet.
We're not done yet. Anyways, no, that's cool though. But yeah, we do try to aim for that balanced approach. Nice chime in.
Yeah, it's quite nice. Milkshake IPAs aren't my thing, but this is really nice. I could sit down and drink a pint of this on a hot patio any day.
Yeah, and that's, I mean,
I think this would actually not be anywhere near as good a beer without the lactose. Because it just adds a little bit of sweetness.
And body.
Just a little more balance.
Yeah. And
it's a shame the timing of this, because we are very proud of our lagers and pilsners. Like, a lot of times we let them sit in the tank longer than they should just to make sure they're ready for the public. But we, with the cans and everything, we've ran out of our beer, and obviously the 5 weeks that it takes or longer.
Yeah.
But right now we're this show is going to be heavy IPAs, because we're also
Have you tried making a lager style beer with Kvik?
So actually, we're looking into it.
It's a time saver.
Yeah,
there it is. We're looking. Well, our Dunderbees, which I wasn't sure if we should do that next, and our farmhouse IPA was one of those ones where we were like, we need something, and we need something quick.
Like 3 to 5 days?
It was brewed and canned in 5 days. Yeah.
Right?
I mean, at a professional scale, which is like
killer.
But we had done that beer before, and we loved it. Like, we did it. It was one of our first batches that we did.
I remember it was last summer there. I went out to Torchlight Brewing in Nelson for their anniversary party, and they did a Kvik beer for their anniversary beer, and it was like a one-week beer or whatever.
Yeah.
They had no backup. If it didn't turn out, they didn't have an anniversary beer.
That sounds like something that we would do. It's like, oh shoot, our anniversary is in a week. What should we do?
We got a week.
Well, they did it purposely, because the anniversary beer before was like brewed a year before, I think, and aged forever.
Right. That's funny.
So it's just like,
let's just do the reverse.
Well, our very first brew was a Kvik.
Yeah.
Just to get something in the tanks and ready to go, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can do that Kvik, or what was the other one?
Too funny. Yeah, that's something I need to play with at home. Home brewing is the Kvik. I haven't really had a lot of experience with it. I did do that article for What's Brewing not that long ago, where I think it was last fall, where I interviewed Dave Henry from Camp Brewing.
Yeah,
he's got about 2 or 3 years experience under his belt playing with Kvik. He was one of the early adopters out here, and I got some wicked information and some really good tips from him.
Nice.
So when I do start playing with it, at least I know what I'm doing.
Well, it's definitely hot in my place right now, so it's probably a good time to homebrew with Kvik.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that stuff works up to 35 Celsius, no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, we brewed our Dunderbeast, which was a Norwegian death metal band.
Nice.
So name. We brewed Dunderbeast at 35 C, yeah. So it you just go hot and fast on it. The cool thing about that yeast strain, too, is that it can manage temperature variation during the process mm-hmm. and keep a similar profile.
It doesn't get stressed out this way some yeast do.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really cool.
I know
you could use
I get stressed out when temperature changes a lot. So.
Yeah. Well, if you use it at 35, you're going to get a little more character out of it because you're at the higher end and you're stressing it a little bit. But if you use it at like 20 Celsius, room temperature or something, you're going to get super clean, ridiculously clean flavors out of it.
Yeah.
So you could use it like a lager type yeast.
Yeah. It's, and there's, I think it's, what was it, Omega yeast in Chicago, just isolated a strain specifically designed for lagers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that's what we're
I've heard rumor about a yeast coming out of UBC that they've been talking about for the last couple of years. It hasn't been released commercially yet, but from what I understand, they have a lager yeast that doesn't produce any sulfur. Which would be a game changer.
Wow. That project, Bright Labs, is that the name of it?
I don't remember, to be honest with you. But yeah, they've got some
that project
name.
I want to see that thing through. I mean, we need more.
So cool.
We need more Canadian yeast manufacturers.
We need our own White Labs or.
Well, we don't have anything locally. There is a Canadian yeast.
There's a Scarvent.
Scarvent, yeah. Thank you.
And it's good, but I mean, like, we just need more because they're obviously they're doing their thing. They're what they're seeing in the market. Like, we need somebody locally in the West Coast who's representing what the market's demanding here to maybe.
It seems like in the last few years, there's been quite a few new places popping up providing yeast. So, like, you know, a few years ago, we didn't have Imperial. We didn't have. Off the top of my head, I'm having a problem.
I'm not a co owner in a home
shop.
But
I can think of about maybe four. I'm thinking like four different brands right off the top of my head that didn't exist a few years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I would just love to see a White Lab style place open up where they also brew beer and show off the different tastes the yeast give off.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really cool. Yeah, I don't think it would ever
happen. The exact same recipe brewed with different yeasts.
Yeah.
To give you an idea of the character, that'd be really cool.
It would be, yeah. It sounds like it's really cool down in San Diego and stuff, so.
That'd be fun.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Somebody, if you're listening, please open up a
Someone's
lab.
Got too much money on their hands.
Yeah.
And also really good chemist or biologist, whatever it is.
All right. So what we got next is our Why Not. It's a kiwi sour. We put over 400 plus pounds of kiwis into 10 barrels. And it's considered... amongst, I think, a lot of people, it has been just released today, the San Pellegrino of beers. So, you know, you could just spread that rumor.
those are pretty tasty.
Yeah. So,
is there any lime in this?
There is a touch, actually, of lemon. Of lemon. So, obviously.
Ooh, I was getting like a lime kind of a rumor.
Yeah, I can do keywords lime. Yeah.
Yeah, the Lactobacillus plantarum is pulling out. And we actually think about kiwis. It's got this great lemon. It's got this great melon note. But when we think about kiwis, it's like watermelon. The image is so much bigger than we think.
It doesn't have a ton of flavor to it. It's mostly just tart. Right?
It's tart and it's got some melon backbone. But anyways, it's great in this kind of combination. So
I can see what they're saying. It's a San Pellegrino.
Oh my God, is that good?
It's so good.
It tastes like, to me, it tastes like that green lime soda, but not nearly as sweet.
Yeah, it does have a, what is that? A Jarritos. It's got a Jarritos element. Okay.
No, when you said that, it reminded me of those those little gummies you used to get as a kid. They're shaped as like Coke bottles and stuff, but it kind of does taste like that green one a little bit.
It's so funny how many times people drink this and they're like, you know, it reminds me of this thing when I was a kid.
Delicious. So that's what it was called.
It's triggering.
there's probably a bad joke about that's the demographic we're looking for. Or something like that.
And the other thing I like about this is it's not ridiculously sour. It's clearly above 3.0 pH.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, a lot of our sours, once again, nailed it. a lot of our sours, what we're looking to do, I personally don't like when I go into a sour and I go, like, I'm going to have to take a Tums.
Like, I used to.
Yeah. And I'm okay. You know, if we're diving into like a really complex Flanders Red or something that's been barrel aged and has a lot of deep notes, that's fine. Like, I can live through the care of that project and how acidic it may be. But in terms of like when we're just looking for like a refreshing kettle sour fruited something, you know, I always aim at ABC to have our pH almost extremely high for one of these things, but because the fruit's going to add in.
Sure.
The fruit's going to bring some element to it. So if we go too low, it's just going to sinker right down to the point of you can't have more.
I don't like it when it burns the back of my throat.
Yeah.
That's not fun. That's not
enjoyable. You don't take a shot of apple cider vinegar in the morning?
No, I'm not a fan. I've got powdered apple cider vinegar in capsules, so I don't have to taste it.
I actually like the flavor of apple cider vinegar.
I don't.
This is absolutely delicious.
This is really, it's got a little more character and depth than a kettle sour, because it's got the extra kiwi and things in there too.
Yeah.
This is
not
really
one
nice.
Noted at all.
Thank you. Yeah, and we did. Thank you. I appreciate that comment because this beer, at the last second, we decided to add the lemon to it. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, when we look at these beers, we actually have a mixologist who is our bar manager, that's like a term that I thought was made up when he told it to me.
A mixologist.
Yeah, I thought
he
it
doesn't
was
even like that term. He's
I
like,
know.
Oh, he, like,
no, he called him. He called him.
It's almost like a flavor chemist, right?
But exactly. And he knows his stuff. And so we run things by him or look to him for inspiration in terms of how we're designing some of these fruited beers. Because really, we have to, I think, as brewers, on these some of just kind of, I don't know, they're kind of like these like vanity like like type of projects here. And this beer, you know, we look to the cocktail world, and this is essentially a Kiwi Collins that we're drinking here.
So delish.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You guys have done really well with your sours, to be honest with you. That last one, Fell on My Keys, was really nice as well. I picked up a couple of those, and they did not last more than a day.
That was
one of our quickest selling beers too.
That was another one that we aimed super high in the pH because we knew that key lime was going to just be a blast to the face. Can't run a normal pH level that you'd think of for a sour. Like if you taste that wort and you go, this is sour, we nailed it. You didn't nail it because you have a whack load of key limes coming in. And then also we use like next to no fruit in that beer, realistically, to pull that great flavor. And then you needed the lactose. That beer was so important to have the lactose in that beer.
It made it.
Cut it and really kind of round out those flavors.
It pulled it all together.
Unfortunately for Clee.
Unfortunately to me. Yeah. I drink, I carry pills with me. And I have like one, and then I look longingly at my wife as she drinks Van Hub. I just do like quality control checks on these things. Yeah. I go, oh, that's good. Good job.
I'm literally finding pills throughout the parking lot. Falling out of his pocket.
Yep.
So there we go.
Yeah. I know that pain, not for lactose, but I know that pain.
Yeah.
You know what's good when there's dead air because everyone's drinking it.
Yeah, everybody takes a sip.
I'm not a huge fan of sours, but I could drink this. Yeah.
See, like that, no I always worry because we get a lot of that. We get a lot of people who are like, I'm not an IPA drinker, but I really like your IPAs. And I'm like, is that because we're making the wrong?
No.
We're making the wrong.
Are we not, that's not an IPA, maybe. Maybe it's a pale ale now.
I love IPAs and I like your IPAs.
Some people go extreme, right?
The problem is I've never had a properly made IPA, a good IPA. I always bring my parents into this. They're never into craft beer and stuff.
Right.
But if you can find something that's properly made, perfectly done, like people will like it. It's just you can find anything you like.
And they might be basing it off the fact that they had an Alexander Keith.
Or a Fat Tug. I was going to say Fat Tug. Yeah. I just went for that's the hoppiest bad boy in the world here.
But you get the people too who've only had Fat Tugs and they're like, that's all I want is those Fat Tugs.
Right. This didn't punch me in the face. You don't know how to make an IPA. Yeah,
exactly. This isn't bitter. This tastes like a juice.
This isn't palate record.
I've had people that like jalapeno IPAs and I'm just like, get the fuck out of here.
Good response.
I've had one or two that were good.
It's funny that like how long have we had craft beer really represented in like well represented?
I'd
here
say
in
we
Vancouver.
Got a good 5 to 10 years under our belt.
Yeah,
five solid for sure.
Yeah, and then but then it's still like people are not aware that there are multitudes.
Well, there's work to do.
of flavors. And
we'll get them all one day.
There's work to do. There's still people buying Budweiser and Molson Canadian and whatnot, so we have work to do.
Well, I mean, Molson's reaching out to breweries
That's going around on social media right now. And I'm trying not to chime in because I don't want to perpetuate it.
I don't even think we should talk about it here.
Yeah, good point.
I had to just make that joke.
If you know what we're talking about, good. If you don't, then we're not going to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, if you buy it, don't download this.
So this sour is fantastic.
Oh, yes. so what do we got next? Do you guys want a triple,
or do you guys think you got...
You got one.
Like, I haven't been giving you big samples.
I got two, three.
For anybody off air, there's not a lot of beer on the table.
Yeah.
It's all small samples.
One or two samples probably left, yeah.
We do have our... We still have our key lime on tap, so we can try that if you wanted to compare it, but...
Oh, that was from a can.
What do you guys have that's newest?
No,
probably.
No,
that's what would you guys like to promote the most? It's like to let your brewery that you
We would love to promote the Italian Pilsner if we had it.
Yeah. But you don't have it yet.
Well, talk about it then.
It's in the tank.
Tell us about it.
Sure, let's talk about our Italian Pilsner. Let's do it. So our Italian Pilsner, so if for those that don't know the style, what's the classic Italian
Peroni?
Beer? Peroni. Thank you very much. So a lot of people think when they go into this subject that it's a Peroni, and it's not.
Saying that Kokanee is a Canadian Pilsner.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly right, yeah. So what we're looking at when we think about this Italian Pilsner is basically there's this dude from Italy, and he trained in Germany and then went back to Italy and opened up essentially a craft brewery. Mm-hmm. And was in love with, of course, his technique that he learned, but also drew a ton of inspiration from North American breweries. Mm. And so he designed an Italian Pilsner, and the name translates his Italian Pilsner, which I'm not going to butcher in Italian, but I know the name of it, and its literal translation, it means a kind of Pilsner. Okay. So he's literally telling his customers, like, it's kind of a Pilsner.
Sort of a Pilsner.
Yeah, it's sort of a Pilsner. But what he did is, with his inspiration from North American breweries and what we were doing, which is cool to see, that the idea of somebody wanting to open a craft brewery and then also drawing inspiration, because we draw infinite inspiration from the old world. So he smashed this thing with American pale ale to IPA level dry hops, but all noble varieties. And I think that's an important caveat to this beer style, is we've seen dry hop lagers before. Fine. But this beer utilized a hop that we don't see getting piled onto a beer in late aroma additions.
I just want to add one thing. I wish this was on camera. If you only saw the hand gestures that were coming out of Cleek.
So
he's very passionate.
I was just going to say, the passion is live right now, boys.
So anyway, he piled this thing on, and what we get is this intensely floral and spicy, and really spicy. We're talking like almost cracked pepper on the back of your tongue, spicy hop. So we've done ours. We're still toying with the recipe, but it's a classic German Pils malt bill. It's brewed in that style. It uses a German, very traditional German yeast strain. And then we go into Hallertau tradition. Mm. We've used Hallertau Blanc for it. And as well as some Spalter Select. So we use Spalt, we have Hallertau Tradition, and this time around we finally got the hop we wanted. It was sold out last year across the board. So we have Saphir going in this one. And all those notes from those are floral, spicy. They're all just classic noble hops.
Not so much of the grassy.
Except
noble.
For the Saphir. Yeah. So not so grassy, but really floral. Beautiful. Spicy. That's what we're looking for. And that beer it took a fascination with Firestone Walker and a handful of other major North American breweries, and basically that beer, they have a whole Tripoli has a whole festival that's called like For the Love of Pils, and they invite brewers just to like bring their Pilsner out. Yeah. And so long story short, basically this beer captures the fascination of people that want a light crushable Pilsner.
Yep.
It holds that camp, and it also holds the most connoisseur beer geek camp, because it's so nuanced and pulls
forward.
So many different hop flavors that we don't typically see. Yeah. So it's a style we are very happy to tackle, and it's the only, and I say, Here we go. Another Beer Co. speaking away. It's the only regular beer that we have on all the time, as we don't have this beer on right now.
I've heard really good things about it. I know a lot of people that have tried it. Unfortunately, I didn't get to try it, but I've heard from multiple people on, like, because I do Instagram a lot, right? So I've heard a lot of good feedback from it. So
yeah, it's
you
in
guys
the tank
did a good
right
job.
Now. Yeah, so
all right,
I will
so come back next
some.
Week.
Yeah, that will get you some.
COVID thirst.
Yeah. So it's in the tank right now. The other cool thing about this beer, and it's kind of why there was a lot of stuff that made us lean towards it and try to make this kind of, in some ways, if we were to have a house beer, this would be it. It's turnaround time. Doesn't match traditional Pilsners. Oh. Its turnaround time is 3 to 4 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. Damn. From start to finish, 3 to 4 weeks. He wanted it to be so that hop freshness remains and doesn't get totally lost in the process.
If you lager it too long, you're going to...
It's just going to diminish.
The hops are going to die down.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. You're going to refine it out. So. Wow. So anyways, yeah. So it's a great beer.
Could we call that your flagship?
I think we can call that our flagship. Yeah, and it's called Bella Birra, and it's the Birra is not spelled Italian. It's B-E-E-R-A.
Okay.
So it means beautiful beer, and then
Bella Birra.
Bella Birra, yeah. And it's kind of
more hand gestures
when
you say
it. The funny thing is, I've never had somebody call me out being like, "Hey, that's not actually Italian." So right. So I think it's fun. I do think the joke, the another beer code joke, is intact there.
Excellent.
So that's good.
Excellent.
And it's actually designed for the whole inspiration behind this is we wanted to tackle this beer, but it's brewed for restaurants exclusively for Say Mercy. And Say Mercy is a new restaurant downtown. Its owners are the same people that own the McKenzie Room. We love the McKenzie Room. Great craft beer selection for a fancy, nice restaurant. And so so they opened a second restaurant, and it's Italian and Southern barbecue fusion.
What?
So if you want to think of like brisket bolognese.
What a weird combination.
It is awesome.
I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's
What's
great.
What's it called?
Say Mercy.
Say Mercy. Yeah.
Saint Mercy. What was the other one?
Say Mercy. Not Saint. Say Mercy.
He's
Say.
Googling it.
Oh, and then their original original restaurant was the McKenzie Room down on Powell.
Okay.
Yeah. So... Wow. Anyways,
it's a tiny place, right?
Yeah. And I feel like we're kind of the same mentality of small restaurants. Like, they don't have the same thing on all the time. If you come in, you're going to be like, well, where was that? One of my favorite menus they ever had, or dinner on the menu or whatever, was Bone Tongues and Harmony. So it was like bone marrow with cow tongue.
Ooh,
and like
bone marrow is so good.
I wouldn't normally be like, oh, bone tongue.
Oh,
or bone marrow and tongue. Cow tongue. That sounds great.
Tongue doesn't have a lot of flavor, but bone marrow does.
But everything I had had before that was phenomenal. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try that. And also because the name is amazing.
Right?
And,
yeah. Bone tongues
and so I think we kind of hit it off on those on that level of just small batch beers, fun names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have necessarily the best location. It might get a little bit better now because they're right across from Tipperary Park, so it's a little difficult there. But
So we're their actually exclusive beer provider, which we told them right off the bat, which was interesting for a brewery like us to even go into a contract like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we told them right off the bat, we're like, we don't make the same beer.
If you want the same beer every month, that might be a problem.
That's not really us. And I said, what we can guarantee you though is a good lager, and I can guarantee you some sort of pale to IPA variant.
Right.
So, and they were like, all right, yeah, let's. so I love that some
of the higher end restaurants are now embracing craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
There's been certain ones that have embraced it all along, like Vidges has always worked with Storm and stuff like that. But for the longest time, you'd go into a high end restaurant, you know, Gotham or whatever, and hey, what do you got in the way of beer? Well, we have Guinness and we have Budweiser, and you'd be like, "What the fuck? I thought this was going to be a high-end experience. What's going on here?"
Yeah. Like, oh, you the 15 or 30 different wines, and then your three macro beers.
Well, Hyde Steakhouse isn't even there yet. I mean, I go there two times a year, and it's like, "All right, what do you want? MGD, this and that." It's like, okay, we're not drinking today.
I can understand it though if you're focused on one thing really, and then. And then these other things haven't ever been really a necessity.
Like, yeah, if you're providing a high-end dining experience, though, I think the beverage should be part of that.
I totally agree. I'm just saying, like, for them, if everything's working out really well,
sure.
They've been established. Why go and just do it?
That's why you need to be vocal when you're in a restaurant. Yeah. You need to say, you don't have an appropriate beer list here. There's nothing on here I can order. I'll take a glass of water, please.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I mean, ultimately, I know, like,
and the scotch.
But even like Mackenzie Room had somebody, like, their main job was to make sure the wine was coming in differently and different beers on tap, and they admittedly said with St. Mercy that they didn't want to do that because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So that's why they came to us and said, you have our taps and
that's easy for them because now the beer is going to be changing a bit and they can manipulate that to work with their menu and they don't have to think about sourcing new beers and stuff.
Totally. Yeah. Even for us, like we have ciders and things on tap, but we often run out of it, not realizing it. And then people come in, they're like, what do you have on tap? We're like, well, we just ordered our cider again because we ran out of it, not knowing that people want the cider. And ultimately, like Nick, who we were talking about before, that helps out with a lot of our flavoring of our beers. And when we fruit them up and he does our cocktails for us, but when he's not here, it's really hard to get the proper cocktails on hand so that there's another option. So we're constantly focused on the beer, and then the side things we run out of because we're just that's really a handful of people running this thing. And you now look back and be like, I was really hard on that one brewery about that one time I went there, or I was hard on a restaurant. And then you're like, it takes a lot to go into all that stuff. Well, so.
Sure does.
I feel if you're coming to any brewery and asking for a cider, you don't have it. Tough shit, man. You're at a brewery.
Yeah.
It's good for the one person in the six or whatever, because we're allowed six people right now. But, the one person in the six that doesn't drink beer still wants to hang out.
And and I think ultimately breweries have become the community centers. You know, Steel Oak has always been that place you go to meet up with a potential business partner or something like that, because you don't want to go to the chain restaurant or whatever, and you enjoy craft beer and everything like that. So they become the community. Like, I mean, I remember going into Yellow Dog, and it's like the running club was there. We had a networking event. There was so many things going on. I'm like, there are literally 150 people in this brewery right now on a Tuesday.
Brewers Row is a community center.
It's
across, but it's great. I mean, it's so
nice. Fraser Mill is right close to the thing too now, right? So it's even Brewers Row is kind of expanding, and it's all still in walking distance. So
and there's a park across the street, beautiful pathways.
With the food trucks there, sometimes you go Rib Fest and the breweries in the same day. Fuck yes.
I want ribs now. All right, let's talk about this beer.
Yeah, it smells amazing.
It has a very interesting aroma,
It's great to my
getting
nose.
A lot of
what
do
we got here, Alex?
What do we got
tropical,
here?
Dank.
Tropical and dank.
This looks like another milkshake IPA to me, but...
Yeah, so have a sip.
It's not. He's drinking it.
Have a sip.
Okay, yeah, so...
hazy IPA.
Very hazed.
Oh, it's sweet and it's dank.
Yeah, so this is our triple IPA. This is 10%.
Triple?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, holy this is a triple IPA.
This tastes like a 6.5% beer.
Yeah.
Oh, this is dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, I love this beer,
That's why we call it the Deep Thoughts for one of it.
So one of the cool things about when we, like, go through this subject matter as well of, like, IPAs is really we're building on this malt profile.
And I like that you've got that same kind of lighter base malts, not a lot of crystal and crap in there to get in the way.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate your style. we basically, the cool thing about this beer is once again, it feels like a 6-7% beer.
Oh, yeah.
But it's got this nice, hot at all. Rounded out malt sweetness. And that's the cool thing that adds to, as we go up, kind of IPA, double IPA, triple IPA, is we're really adding layers of sweetness and kind of malt character to the backbone, but we don't have to crush
out
it
that bitterness
with alcohol notes. Yeah. We don't have to crush it with fusel notes. Like, we don't have to do these things to prove that it's 10, right? We can make a beer, it tastes 6%, 7%, but just add these nuanced, bold flavors that you can't possibly get at a you know 6%, at a actually 6%.
Yeah.
Or if you do, you're compromising some other element of that project, right?
So that being said, we're probably gonna have to name our next triple IPA. This beer is 10%.
This
because the amount of people who come in and go, I had three of these before going to bed. I couldn't work the day before. I didn't have any idea that it was 10%.
Yeah.
You don't because you can. Really now. No, I'm not tasting the alcohol. I'm not getting that.
I
heat
get no alcohol
at all. I'm starting to pick it up in the aroma now, just because I know it's there.
Yeah.
But before that, when I first smelled it, I didn't get it. Yeah. This is very sneaky.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of a friend of mine who, she loves black licorice flavors. So we got her a bottle of Mega Destroyer back when it was 1 liter bottle still from House Sound. She drank the whole thing in one night. And
Wow.
Woke up going, oh.
Yeah. Woke up feeling like her head was a pothole.
Yeah, pothole 10%.
Did she get Mega Destroyed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Technically, maybe. Yeah.
It's funny, though, with the triple IPAs because... I'm not trying to profile the beer drinkers out there, but there's a lot of older guys who really like these big beers with high alcohol content. And for like a week before, or no, it was like a couple, like maybe a month or so before we released this one.
This is called Deep Thoughts, by the way.
This is called Deep Thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Deep Thoughts.
We had released one called Can't Stop the Hops. And it was a collaboration with a skateboarder that was a goal to go to the Olympics, but it's postponed, obviously, for
year.
A year.
Hopefully.
But every so often, I'd get reports from our like staff being like, an old lady showed up asking for the Can't Stop the Hops.
The ladies
and then just left. And then I'm like, oh, that must be Adam's like grandmother. Like, right. 'Cause she had come in when we released it. And so that was kind of like the thought in everybody's head is that, you know, Adam Hopkins' grandmother was coming
That's
by
great.
To grab some of the beer to support her grandson. And then when we were canning this, we were in here and canning this Deep Thoughts. And this old couple came in and they're like, do you have any of that Can't Stop the Hops? And we're like, no, sorry, that was long gone. Like, we're all out. And they're like, all right. And they were like about to leave.
But we like, have something else.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, you may be interested in this. And then they were just... thrill. I thought it was his grandmother, but it was actually a customer who just all they wanted was, because every time it would just be like, oh, you don't have it, and then leave. Come back again, be like, you don't have it, leave.
They heard about it from somebody, right?
Yeah. Well,
one beer and their nightly pills, bedtime.
But it's funny though, there was a brewery I worked at in Pitt Meadows where I noticed that a lot of the customers who were locals, they would come in and they would look at that chalkboard to see what was available, and they would pick their beer by the percentage amount because they, I guess, feel they're getting a better bang for their buck or whatever.
I'm going to say that's
still
happens.
But it got frustrating after a while. I tried not to pay attention because it was just like angering almost. It's like, you don't pick your beer by the percentage.
Well, it still happens there,
but
man.
Triple IPAs and barley wines are fucking delicious.
Well, sometimes.
I'm going to
say
saw
that at the beginning always. Because we didn't do we didn't do a range of pricing.
Mm.
So we like a lot of time, like you know,
we're
learning
those proofed ones
yeah,
a little
exactly.
higher. So
we didn't realize that until we started noticing that all these big proof
they're selling
beers
faster.
Are just going like
yeah.
Man, well, they really like that triple.
Well, for
really
me,
sure do.
10% too. You don't like Warren said. You don't taste the alcohol burn, but I'm getting like
not at all.
Tons of fruit flavors going
yeah,
on
yeah,
here.
Yeah, so a nice East Coast style yeast strain that pulls a lot of pineapple and stuff like that, but really smashed it with Citra, Virgil Gamache, Amarillo hops.
Damn, that's good.
And Simcoe Cryo hops. So
I'm loving the hop levels.
Yeah,
yeah same
and
here,
it's
man.
6 pounds per
insane.
Barrel. It works massive.
It works perfectly with the lactose, though.
Yeah,
it's nicely balanced.
No lactose.
No lactose.
Oh, there's no lactose.
Just that big
that's
malt
just
sweetness.
Residual sweetness.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you mash fairly warm?
Nope, no. I mean, that's when you have such like, that's kind of our same four is when you go into these triples, what you're really trying to pull out is these really deep, nuanced kind of malt sweetness flavors, right? When we think about a barley wine, right? It's so big and be so malty. It can also be so hoppy.
Yeah.
Because you need to balance that aspect. Yep. And we're in a similar vein. You know, we don't use lactose. We don't use anything like that. We actually pull in some sugars to try to dry it out more than it should be strategically. And part of like the one of the cool things about this beer is this is like an evolution of like just kind of like a body of work from a lot of different individuals. So obviously it's another Beer Co. beer, but when Boneyard announced moving in, bringing their product up north, we got to meet Tony from Boneyard when they did
Bend, Oregon?
Yeah, Bend, Oregon, Boneyard, yeah.
Good brewery.
Just fantastic brewery. And Tony was a great guy. We met him. He was a great guy. But obviously, he was pretty jolly. He was at this big release party. They threw this crazy thing for him.
I love those parties.
At Portland Craft. And then, but Alex, we met him, and he gave us a number. We're like, we're opening a brewery. And
we had the space, but we didn't.
It was still
it was still like a dream.
Yeah, right? And next thing you know, Alex just reaches out to him and just is like, "Hey, we have this dumb question about yeast," and he was like, "That's kind of a silly thought," but and rattled off an answer within like 30 minutes.
Nice.
And then like a year later, we are all of a sudden working with Moody Ales on another Moody Triple IPA.
Yeah.
And Alex really goes, man, that Boneyard triple was the first triple I had that was just like, he's like, first of all, it's like, I think the first triple maybe ever. and he goes, but it was phenomenal what they did with it. And I'm just going to ask him. And within 30 minutes, hey, nice. Tony, I don't know if you remember us, blah, blah, blah. Within 30 minutes, he gets back to us again.
I love that. Eh?
Like, guy, he's just a nice guy.
Point form, like just like. Bullet point.
Do this. And not like build your recipe this way, but just like, here's the things to look out for as you design the recipe. And so it put us on a good path for success for this beer right out of the gate. And then my family owns a brewery in the States called Whistle Punk Brewing. Once again, very small. We thought we were going to buy their equipment.
What city are they in?
They're in Spokane, Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, right. That's down. So if you go through Spokane, right downtown. So it was initially called Hanson Brothers Brewing. I was the brother in the operation. And then, long story short, met Alex, my wife.
Hanson Brothers?
Very like fun. Umbop?
Yeah, like Umbop, yeah. So,
but that's a different brewery.
Time out. We'll segue in real quick. So we're Hanson Brothers Brewery. I have notebooks back to like the Olympics. I'm going to drop that reference. 2010, so nice. 10 years ago. I have notebooks that far thinking about this brewery, really, and designing the concepts for Hanson Brothers Brewing with my brother. My dad, I grew up vacationing, was going to the Oregon coast, going to Roe, going to these places, and drinking root beer as my dad got craft beer and watching the waves crash, right? So,
what was the nickname of the boy band that you had?
So, what?
No, wasn't it called Carboys? Because all the three brothers would wait in the car while their parents went to the brewery. Yeah.
get my dad a homebrew set. Next thing you know, he's brewing in the 80s. He revives it. We're back to brewing. We're thinking about opening a brewery. They open a brewery. Me and Matt are planning it. It's Hanson Brothers Brewing. And we get a cease and desist letter from the Hanson Brothers, the Umbop. The band, yeah. And they.
Well, the band.
The band. Yeah. Not Umbop. The hockey.
No.
If they would have said the hockey one, I would have said, yeah, I don't want
Holy
chicklets,
shit.
Okay?
Yeah.
Let's back down. But instead, it was the band, and they released a beer for their. They released a beer for their concert tour series.
Yeah, Disney World or something.
Oh, is it?
Really?
I saw someone drinking it at Disney World before all this happened.
Yeah. So,
everyone, what is it called, Clee?
Huh? It's called Mops.
They did it, eh?
Mops, yep.
Yeah, no, I heard about that one.
Yeah.
As a better side note, the drummer from the Hanson Brothers is actually the owner of a brewery in Powell River now.
No what? Way.
Yeah.
Really?
The old Red Lion Pub is now his brewery, and they do their own beer and pizza. And he's a longtime home brewer, too.
He better not come to New West.
He put out a video on home brewing way back when we had VHS and everything.
That's crazy.
Wait, so is that the one that's down, like, so there's Townsite.
Yeah,
so it's not technically in Powell River. It's down.
It's just across the bridge from Townsite.
Right, so it's
going
it's,
out of
it's
town,
going towards Lund or whatever.
Yes,
right?
Going north.
So
yeah.
Actually,
I'm all about Powell River because my grandmother lives there. So
my uncle lives there
beautiful
too.
Place. But they were just building it when I was there last. I haven't been up since they've opened.
I like your idea there that you guys should reach out and do a collab and be like, hey, bro, you remember when you cease and desist me?
Just call
Let's hang. We
can call it water under the bridge. Yeah.
The chili peppers will get you next time.
But only use it once.
But they did so, send them a, they
so,
asked for
yeah, a... Yeah, long story short, so we basically, I've said that multiple times now. Long story long.
Long story long, that's a good one.
So basically, we then said... We got to the point of being ridiculousness where we actually never spoke with them, but we kept on speaking with our lawyer. Yeah. And lawyer fees, if you've never dealt with lawyers,
it's ridiculous.
So we were like, we had to just cut it and just
it's
go with a different
to change
name.
The name than
yeah,
fight it.
And my dad was a logger in Montana, so we call it Whistlepunk, which is an old logging term.
The funny thing is, you probably could have got away with it.
Yeah, well,
because their music and your beer and the world's will never.
So they basically they sent us a letter that was like, when people think of Hanson, they think of us.
No, they don't.
Well,
unless you're Canadian.
Well, Canadian think of the
Minnesota.
When I hear Hanson Brothers, the first thing I think of is the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Second thing I think of is the band.
Yeah, so that's how they, and it was this Cold War standoff where just petty emails off and forth. And then, and we said, fine. When you guys can buy us out of the Facebook things and Instagram and website domains and all this stuff, right? So you can buy that from us and we'll just be done with it. And they basically, they kind of realized you can't actually copyright a name that's actually that generic.
Yeah.
And so, so they, without admitting defeat, basically purchased some of family's brewer equipment.
Wow.
Yeah. They cut us a check. And then when we got the check, we said, hey, we want a signed poster from the brothers.
Did you get it?
And the check came in the mail, and then 2 weeks later we got the poster.
That's awesome. It came
with a note. They're like, you can display this in your brewery, or like it had like rules about what we could
like
do with
eBay.
It.
eBay.
Might be in the bathroom.
Yeah, no, it's in the office. Yeah,
well,
so
that's cool, man.
That's funny though.
Both the Wright brothers must be on there. I think both the Wright brothers are in that band.
No, they're all Hanson Brothers, bro. That's what they call the Hanson Brothers.
It was just the three. But I should reach out. That's hilarious.
I think it's the two Wright brothers that are in No Means No, and then they had one guy from They Must Be Giants that joined them
band. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, put us in touch.
I was in the punk rock world for a while.
I know
a little bit about that stuff.
Yeah, the audio thing connection.
Hanson Brothers aren't punk rock.
No, Hanson, that's not punk rock.
So anyway.
Hanson Brothers?
No, Hanson is.
The Hansons, those guys.
Yeah.
The ones that 16-year-old girls listen to.
So now we shouldn't do the collab with those guys.
Those idiots in the States?
Yeah.
Oh, screw that.
Tulsa.
Wow, that's what made the story so good.
Damn it. I thought you were talking about the Hansons. There's the No Means No guys. We had a band called the Hansons. They put out a couple albums, and it was all based after the Hansons.
They need to receive a cease
stuff.
And desist
because
that is bad.
That's
what they're
funny.
Doing. So
they probably were first.
I don't think they messed with them.
Well,
yeah.
the hockey movie guys should just sue everybody.
I know
they're OGs.
Yeah.
I wonder how many beer names are there with cease and desist.
Not too many.
Yeah,
that's a good name for a beer.
Okay, we're just taking it.
Except that you get a cease and desist for it. We already named ours that.
Copyrighted.
Trademark TM.
I'm recording this for my lawyers.
That's us, and that's how I got
it. I heard about the other Hanson goofball having a line of beer out a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was for a concert. It'd be, imagine if like Nickelback said, like, hey, we're doing this reunion tour, let's make a beer.
And they announced it on Oprah.
It's like manufactured and essentially like
it's
a Granville Island type
right
setup.
For fighting beer.
And if Chad Kruger's listening, should he contact you?
We're open. Yeah, no.
But we'll call it quarterback.
He'll get his Lambo and fly out here from all
dime back.
But okay, so we got onto that because you were talking about the triple IPA.
Oh yeah, so basically,
which is delicious.
Long story long. I digress.
Long story sidetracked.
Yeah.
That was a good story, man.
Yeah. So anyway, so. Back to, so then all of a sudden this recipe comes from Tony, filters through us, and what Worth kind of, me and Alex are thinking about it, and then we ship it over to my brother, who's like my confidant in brewing. And me and Matt, I actually, one of the names of this place was going to be Other Brother Brewing. We also thought about, I initially toyed with it, though Alex might look at me like this, but it was in my head, calling it the Lab. because it was essentially what we thought like was like a laboratory for like two minds.
Well, there's
thinking,
one in Portland called Labrutory.
Okay, so that wouldn't work.
Cease and desist.
So but basically, the conceptually about the lab would be like there's two minds working on this subject of beer, and so we kind of thought about these different things. It ended up being another beer company, which also ties
which
in the
works.
Name a little
I
bit
think,
of
I
like
think it's, a good
it's another beer company in the family. It's another. Yeah. There's a lot of actually subtle meanings.
No, I like it
in
I
that
do.
Name as just kind of tongue in cheek as it is. But yeah, so we sent it off to Matt. My brother looks at it. Matt does awesome IPAs. And anyways, he filters it through, kind of gives his recommendations. We manipulate the hop bill, tweak the malt bill a little bit more. And next thing you know, we have that beer. And that was our starting point. And it turned out great.
It's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, it's great.
And then this beer then, of course, adapted it, added a bit more oats, went for a bit more haze on this. And then really went for a lot of just like insane amount of kind of citrus orange notes.
Big
we
time.
Thought like, let's go Citra, Amarillo, and just kind of look for that blood orange, orange, tangerine, just
you
kind of all
it.
These
it's
pieces.
Definitely got
yeah.
that orange juice, citrus yeah. thing going
so,
on.
Do you think your listeners are going to enjoy this?
Yes, I do.
They better.
Good.
I do. I
because
hope
I am definitely, like the podcast I listen to, I do enjoy this stuff.
Yeah, but anyways,
but I don't know what you're demographic
is. You should crack it open and then you can maybe get the passion.
This has been a fun podcast for sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
And this beer though, phenomenal job. Like I got to give you that.
I'm having a hard time deciding which one I like the best.
This one.
The West Coast was good. This one's good. That sour with the kiwi was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
The pale ale, how you made it taste like. Just the hop profile to it was amazing too. Like you guys have done a lot of good beers, just what we tried today. So if you're listening, get your ass down to New West and get some beers from ABC here.
I've always dreamed of these sort of things way back before I even thought about opening a brewery. And I always remember the Michael Jackson documentary where Sam from Dogfish Head had Michael Jackson as in it. Like for those who don't know, he's like the guy who came up with all the beer names. And
not beat it.
No.
He's not into music.
We're talking about a white dude.
Yeah.
There's a lot of crosses from music to like beer here. But he pulls out all these beers from like his cellar and they're none of them are labeled and he always you know, he holds it out and he's like, this one we made like 8 years ago, and that would be the dream that I would always have of like being able to do that, but we're just going off the tap. And beers that we've had for a week.
You don't have a back catalog yet?
So. Yeah, no back catalog. We haven't even gotten that.
We actually didn't keep any beers from when we first opened. And I was just like,
time to make a barley wine.
We kept nothing.
We kept nothing. Keep for years.
Please.
Like, I'd like to compare this one to the last one we did. We don't have any of them because we're all small batch.
Well, that's tough. Even if you did keep a few, I mean, if it's 6, 8 months, 12 months later, it's going to be
but even
hard to match anyway.
You just need a neighbor to move out.
So we had our 1 year anniversary. We weren't able to do anything, but one of Cleet's friends gave us like one of our first menus framed, and I was just like, that.
Oh, cool.
Like, the day you open, the last thing you think of is someone's going to steal a menu
right.
and frame it and then give it to you.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's going to mean something to you. Like
it has, brutal. Like, no, like, flights only. We don't do any other pints because we can't. And it's got all this kind of, like, BC legislation nostalgia.
Take your growler and shove it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is funny because, I've been thinking about that a little bit. So I've got some of the cans from our very first canning run. That I put aside and kept, but one of them I didn't have because they were all dented and everything.
I noticed you guys had some in the fridge when I was there.
Yeah, no, it's good to keep that.
They're all empties, and it said it was the Perry, was everything, and it said they just had labeled it, sold out on it, and it was at the top of the fridge.
That's right.
Just so you could see like everything that's brewed and already sold out. I thought it was a cool touch. Yeah.
That could get to be too big of a selection at some point.
Dude, you got a lot of taps in your place.
And they're not even close to being filled.
No.
40? All
right. Yeah, it's ridiculous,
Yep.
It'll be a while.
Wow.
It's got to be a big cold room.
Yeah. No, we got two cold rooms. Yeah. Come on.
Cool. Well, is that the high note that we're ending on?
No.
Or you guys want to try one more?
You guys, let's
should we get something else?
We can cut her off and hang out.
Yeah, no, it's up to you guys. Usually we talk about which beer we liked the most.
Yeah, for me, it's that last triple IPA by far.
Yeah?
But They've all been really good.
I liked the West Coast. It's not a bad beer in the bunch. The West Coast IPA, I think, was my favorite. Although that
West Coast Pale, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's the pale. It's the what's the hardest part about making a beer is coming up with the name West Coast Pale Ale released next week.
I loved that. That was really delicious. That kiwi sour was ridiculously good too.
Yeah. Oh no. Like I said, they're all really
good. We're all in agreement. They're all great.
Yeah.
Yes. We are all in agreement.
Some are just greater.
Nothing like the brewery owner being like, "We have the best beer."
I liked three of them better than two of them.
Yeah.
I liked the last one. Honestly, was my favorite.
It was good.
Just the flavors for being 10%, it hit everything. Mm-hmm. But it was, I don't know, just the fruit flavors coming off it were great. The sour too was amazing. It's hard to say not that none of them were great, but if I'm ordering them, it's got to be the triple who's my fave for sure. Yeah.
That was good.
Power to the triple. Let's keep on seeing them.
Do you guys ever talk about things coming up in the future?
Go sure. for it. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So 2022, we got Oktoberfest.
They'll be starting with their small mini fest in the spring, which could be a fresh fest.
2024, maybe.
We're going to blow the party out.
Yeah. You pick up some beers.
Cleve is there today at North Paw doing the collaboration.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we did a collab with North Paw. I think it's going to be called Love Peace Beer.
But, what style of beer?
Just basically it's.
Sorry.
I don't know if this is.
Is it a weird hybrid style?
Information. Yeah, it's weird. So we basically what we're looking at is, you ever wanted all the things in life?
Yes.
Well, we're going to give it to you.
all the beers in one?
Yeah, all the beers in one. Yeah, no, so it's a, it's what we're looking at is a fruited milkshake IPA with a little bit of sour. So,
really?
Nice. I will fuck with that.
And yeah, that's all, so it should be. That, right? Yeah, Moody Ales
so
involved.
Mixed culture.
Well. So, and just hitting it with a classic hazy strain, and then basically, goal is to citify the fruit itself, and then blend that in. So,
interesting.
Yeah,
sounds good, man. Lovely. That's close to me too.
Should be so it's gonna be a big pineapple forward, pineapple fruit, guava.
Pineapple. Tropical.
Yep, Sabro Brew One.
Oh shit!
And
that sounds damn good.
I love Sabro hops.
Citra.
Man.
So,
well, that's going to give me a good excuse to go there again.
Hey, I'll meet you
there in a bit.
Hey. Yeah. So anyway, so we just got done with that today. So
cool.
That's cool.
Wishing the yeast good luck and
a couple weeks
on your adventure and then a couple weeks.
Yeah. The guys who do the real
work. So you said that was Moody Ale, North Paw, and yourself, ABC.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like capturing kind of like this general kind of obviously like kind of Tri Cities kind of this.
Yep. Yeah,
this,
I was going to say
portion.
That.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And just it's pointing itself towards just kind of a little bit of like social unrest and some of the stuff we're having, and just kind of diffusing. It's
give
like
it
a diffusing beer. Yeah. So a portion of the proceeds are going out to a charity of North Paw's choice.
Excellent.
And we're going to be carrying the beer, and they're going to be selling it in cans, and
cool.
It'll be a decent run, so you will be able to find it in cans. They're also going to spread it out to, I think, a few other breweries.
Yeah,
nice.
Which
that's
is cool. So you can probably find it as a guest tap around the region, yeah.
I'll just show up when it's released.
Yeah, good. Yeah, so
yeah,
anyways,
exactly.
So pretty fun. Yeah, yeah. We visit them, these guys, often because they're right by Brew Culture, so.
Oh, nice.
So we get to see Courtney all the time.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And then
Courtney's awesome.
Our Tin House Club is going to be...
Oh, you're working with Tinos too.
Well, we did
one before.
Hitchhiker's Ride of the Galaxy.
Nice.
I had that. Is that already out?
I've
had that before. Yeah. I was going
to
say.
It sold out pretty quick, so they want to do it again
Galaxy
in
Hops
mid-July,
then,
I think.
Yeah, that's a great name, too.
That's an awesome name.
I freaking love that movie.
Books are great, too.
One of the beers you named was something about Deep Thought or...
Yeah, that was,
No, that was
I have the great names.
Thought,
actually, Alex
deep
came up with
my
favorite
name. Deep Thought is the computer from Hitchhiker's Guide to the
Galaxy. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's right. Whoa.
Need to do one with the towel.
Yeah.
Don't panic.
That's a tie.
Don't panic.
That's right. So the actually the bottom of the can, it came out right during like as and COVID happened.
Really?
And it said the bottom of the can panic. Said, don't panic. Oh,
yeah. Oh my God. That's hilarious. Yeah. I didn't even cue in on that.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's pretty good. Amazing. So, nice. There's a lot of tie-ins. It's pretty fun.
Then we're chatting with Steel Note. We're going to try to do another collab with them.
Yes. We'll see. Do like that makes cross sense.
New West Breweries working together?
Yeah. We did. They were kind enough to do one with us before we even opened the doors. They
yeah.
There's a Hopfeisen.
Because we, I organize Music by the River. It's like an event that's not happening this year.
Because nothing's happening this year.
This year's on pause.
So for the last 3 years, we did, the City of New West had licensed Pier Park, which is down on the river.
Nice. Yeah.
And so we did a collaboration for that event. Which was nice.
Cool.
Hopped up Hefeweizen, if you didn't catch from what.
Yeah, it's great. It's the first time actually working with Brew One, and Brew One's crazy. It just is so pineapple and tropical and like really? Nothing else. Yeah, it's wild.
That sounds like my shit. Pop.
Yeah, anyways, yeah, it worked.
Nobody wants to hear about Brew well. One, Clee. We want more stories about Hanson Brothers.
Yeah. That'll be a topper for the night, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, yeah, so some fun stuff, but.
Very
cool.
So it's not just collabs. I mean, we ultimately want to do some more events because that was, I feel like, what we were hitting out of the park or parties in our parking lot because our occupancy is so small that we try to like expand the brewery. Mm-hmm. But obviously with COVID, we can't do it. But as soon as we can.
Soon.
Yeah.
Well, you guys should do a collab with an Instagram dude. Red Beard, maybe?
With a what?
Anybody in
an Instagram, dude.
Or a podcast, even. Yeah. Or a podcast.
The old podcast video. Yeah.
We've done one already.
What do people say to you when, like, when a tank space comes up? Yeah. We're pretty booked. No, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we did a really good one out at Silver Valley.
We have a form. You can fill it out. No.
That was a good beer we did.
Yeah, we did a, it was a Goza with
seaweed and black lime.
Black lime and rice.
It went really well with rice. Sushi.
Where do you get seaweed? You got the seaweed from, like,
it was packets? Like a TNT store, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, then black lime, and we made a tincture, and...
Wow.
You soaked it and made a tincture.
Yeah. And then we went in and tried different amounts to see what levels we wanted and everything. And yeah, it turned out really nice.
Wow. That was fun. It was a good brew day out there in Maple Ridge.
So I went out there with my own sushi tray and I sat down and
so
had a pint and had sushi while I was there. It was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, we might as well wrap this up. What's your address here?
30 Capilano Way.
There's a reason why
New Westminster, BC.
Unit number 11.
Unit number 11. Honestly, if you buy IKEA, you're in. Well, you can hit a golf ball from IKEA.
I always not use quite. IKEA.
No. I couldn't for sure.
No, it's
we're like a 5-10 minute walk from the Sapperton Sky Train station.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. You can get here from the Braid station too. It's a little longer walk. If you're interested in taking the SkyTrain here, make sure you look at the YouTube video first on how to get here by SkyTrain. They will show you exactly and precisely how to get here by SkyTrain. There's
think
a back
of it like
entrance.
A speakeasy.
There's a back entrance to the station in Sapperton.
Oh,
that makes it a lot easier, so don't have to frogger across that insane 4-lane road there.
Don't do it.
The traffic never stops. Froggering across there is brutal. I've done it.
But to go on record, TransLink would rather you do that than go down the stairs.
Really?
TransLink?
They're worried about people drinking and falling up the stairs.
Yes.
On their way out of
Oh, my poor shins.
We had a meeting.
Well, it's
at the end of the day, if somebody's been drinking, I would prefer they take transit as an option.
Hey, Uber's around too. You know, well, call an Uber.
You guys have transit.
We have Uber now. We have Lyft now. So those are options as well.
The SkyTrain is great though, because it like and whatever TransLink says, forget about them. They're nerds. but the stairs are way better because the first time I came here as a noob, I ran across that freaking highway. I go down the thing, and lo and behold. There's a train going 5 kilometers an hour, and I'm sitting there like an asshole.
And that's the opinion of Pacific Beer Chat, not of the brewery.
Yeah, that's on Jordan.
Yeah. All right, and where can people find you online?
Yeah, you can find us at anotherbeerco.com and at anotherbeerco for Instagram, Facebook, any channel, really. Yeah.
Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter. Make sure you put in anotherbeerco. ABC will not get you far.
No.
We've definitely been accidentally tagged with Alphabet. Alphabet Brewing. One time.
That's fun.
Yeah. So it's another
Google owns that, so don't do that.
Just people right. Learn how to use Instagram and all those platforms, and you'll be able to find them easily.
It's actually restaurants.
And actually, we post most of our stuff on Instagram. So if you don't use Instagram, I'm sorry, but that's our typical channel for releasing information.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for the excellent beers. Yeah, those were all really, really good.
Cool. Thanks. Right on. Cheers. We're going to say, rock on!
Yeah.
Can you cut that out
then? You edit that out?
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.